In 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 1, the Apostle Paul, while writing to the young evangelist there, said this. He said, "But know this, that in the last days," or the last dispensation of time, "perilous times will come." The word "perilous" here means difficult. It means dangerous. It could also be translated as savage. The word "times" here means epochs. It means seasons, or better still, it means movements. And these seasons or movements threaten the truth. They threaten the gospel, and they threaten the church. And according to verse 13, they will increase in severity because evil men and imposters will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. And so we're talking about dangerous movements here. And the problem with these dangerous movements is they don't come and leave. They come and they stay. Let me suggest just a few of those to you tonight. You may remember back in the 1950s, the dangerous season or movement that was thrust upon us was that of ecumenism. And that's when man decided to cast aside doctrine. They decided that man should not divide over doctrinal issues. The idea was, let's get sentimental, and sentimentality became the issue. You might remember there was a new hermeneutic in the land for interpreting Scripture, and it was called the Jesus ethic. And they determined that Jesus, being the very epitome of love, and being the great man that he was, and the nice man that he was, he would have never said anything that was negative or bad. So let's take out all the bad parts, all the negative parts, all the judgments, and all the retribution. Man began to tolerate evil, disdain doctrine, and the legacy of all of that was a lack of discernment. Into the 1960s we came, and with it came the dangerous season of experientialism, where truth comes from experiences, truth comes from feeling, truth comes from intuition. It comes from visions or special prophecies or special revelations. And you no longer look to the objective word of God, but you look to some subjective intuition to determine truth. And very sadly, people were drawn away from the word of God. Into the 1980s we came, and with it came the dangerous season of subjectivism, when psychology captured the religious world. And man was concerned about whether we can bump ourselves up the comfort ladder a little bit. Man was concerned about becoming more successful and making more money. And man-centered religion was developed. And needs-based religion and personal comfort became the goal. Then into the 1990s we came, and with it came the dangerous season of mysticism, when you can believe in absolutely anything that you wanted to, it didn't matter. Also in the 90s came pragmatism. And pragmatism basically says appropriate means for preaching are defined by the people. Just give them what they want. Do a survey. They will tell you what they want. And truth became the servant of what works. And expository preaching was then viewed as the Pony Express method of delivery in a computer age to a bunch of folks that didn't want it in the first place. And man decided that the key to effective preaching was that of image or style rather than content. Later in the 1990s came the dangerous season of syncretism. And that said that all religions that are monotheistic, or all religions that worship only one God, it doesn't matter what God it is as long as there's one. All religions that are monotheistic are going to heaven. In fact, you might remember that a man actually wrote a book about it, that he took a trip to heaven, and when he got there, he found Confucius and Buddha. He met Muhammad. He found Orthodox Jews. He found others there, like atheists that were seeking truth. And the reason that they were there, the reason that atheists were in heaven, is because they were seeking truth. And the rationale was this: even though they didn't believe in God, the fact they were seeking truth, and God is ultimate truth, therefore in some roundabout way they were seeking God, therefore they were monotheistic, and therefore they were in heaven. The problem with these movements, brethren, tonight, is these movements don't come and go. These movements came and stayed. We are in such a season now that if we want to stand for that which is right and stand for the truth and stand for doctrine, if we want to be clear and concise about the Word of God, if you want to stick to a thus saith the Lord and hold to the pattern and cling to the old paths, we are considered divisive, unloving, and prideful. The prevailing mood in the world of postmodern Western culture is this, that everybody determines truth for himself, and everybody's opinion is just as valid as everybody else's opinion. And there's no room at all for absolute authoritative doctrine. And friends, this is the dangerous season of relativism. And on and on and on it goes. For these reasons, there's a greater need to preach the Word of God today than ever before. Because of these dangerous seasons, these dangerous substitutes. The Apostle Paul further, beginning in verse 2, defines a little bit more about these dangerous seasons and general descriptions of the people that are behind them and those that are involved in them. After saying a variety of things, Paul finally says this, they are lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. They have a form of godliness but denying its power, and Paul said, from such people, turn away. You know, the only thing that we have that has the power to combat these dangerous movements or seasons today is the authority of the Word of God. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, the Apostle Paul says, preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust, heap unto themselves teachers having itching ears. In this passage, the Apostle Paul not only gives the command to preach the Word, but he adds time and tone to the command. The time there is in season and out of season, or when it's convenient and when it is inconvenient. And since every opportunity to preach the Word will fall into one of those two categories, either convenient or inconvenient, then in essence the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy, Timothy, be ready to preach the Word and preach it all the time. But he also adds tone to the time. And that tone has both a negative and a positive aspect. There is a negative aspect to our preaching, and there is a positive aspect to our preaching. If all we do is preach nothing but positive sermons, then we are only preaching half of what is required for us to preach. On the other hand, if all we do is preach negative sermons, we are only preaching half of what is required for us to preach. On the negative side, the negative aspect is that of reproving and rebuking. And that's when we take the truth of the Word of God and we confront error and we confront sin. Then on the positive side, we take the very same truth of the Word of God and we exhort with great patience and we instruct. Negatively, we confront error and sin, but positively, we teach sound doctrine and godly living. One commentator said one time that when we exhort someone with God's Word, it's like we're doing this. It's like we're encouraging God's people to continue to do what they already know is right. The truth of the Word of God is the only thing that has the power to do that. And again, there's a greater need to preach the Word of God today than ever before. People today in the society that we live in are literally starving for the Word of God, and they just don't know it. People today that we come in contact with, there are people that are wonderful people in our lives, and they're starving for the Word of God. There are people today that are hungry and thirsting. They're reaching out and they're grasping. Many today, our friends that we come in contact with perhaps, realize that there are vacancies in their life. They realize there are hollow places in their life. There are shallow places. Many today are lacking insight and understanding. Many today cannot solve the basic problems and dilemmas in life. You see, friends, they're simply starving for the Word of God, and they just don't know it. You know, one of the saddest things in all the world is this. In the absence of the Word of God, they're being offered a lot of substitutes that don't help. God has ordained that we take His word to all the lost. God has told us to preach the word, preach every word. Like the Apostle Paul, who preached the whole counsel of God and who kept back nothing that was profitable. You know, very sadly, sometimes people say today, they grow discouraged. Several preachers have touched on things like this in the series of meetings thus far. But today it seems as though God's people get discouraged and say, and I've heard people say over and over again, people just aren't interested in the truth anymore. Well, first of all, let me just say this. That's not true. That's not true at all. Don't ever lose confidence in the power of the Word of God or the power that it has to save. The bottom line is this. The Word of God always has, still does, and always will have the power to save. In Psalm 19 and 7, the Bible says that it converts the soul. In 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17, it says it is the power of the Word that saves, the power of the Word that sanctifies. It provides doctrine, it reproves error and sin, and it sets upright and then trains in the path of righteousness. One scholar said it's like this, it lifts a man up after he's fallen down, and there's nothing in the world that could do that except the Word of God. You know, some of the greatest evangelistic fields today are on foreign soil. And the same message that we preach in the United States of America is the exact same message that we preach when we go to other places like the Philippines. Many of you have heard me say this from time to time, and I'll say it again. I love the work there. It was by far the greatest thing that I've ever been able to be a part of in my whole life as a Christian. And prayerfully, I'll continue to get better and stronger and soon be able to go back. The power of the Word of God is what saves lost souls. And sometimes when we don't see numbers in the United States of America obeying the gospel, there's nothing in the world wrong with the message. There's something wrong with the heart. The message has the power to save. And just let's just say that it is possible that the people that we come in contact with in our daily life, maybe they aren't interested right now. But I don't believe for a minute that in the last day, on the day of judgment, that we'll be held accountable for the results of that effort. But folks, we're going to be held accountable for our efforts. We have to do all that we can. I can't fathom preaching anything else. Let us make the determined resolve tonight that we're going to cast aside any preconceived ideas and preconceived notions, that people aren't interested anymore, and get enthused and excited once again about the greatest story ever told, about the greatest man that ever lived that came down to this low ground of sin, sickness, and sorrow and hung on the cross of Calvary and died and shed his blood to purchase the greatest thing ever built. And that's the church. An infidel once challenged the Christian by saying this. He said, if I firmly believed, as so many say that they do, that the knowledge and practice of Christianity in this life influences destiny in another world, if I really believe that, then Christianity would be to me everything. I would cast aside earthly cares as follies and earthly thoughts and feelings as vanity. Christianity would be my first waking thought, and it would be my last image before sleep sank me deep into the unconsciousness of night. Oh, I would labor in its cause, and I would labor in its cause alone, and earthly consequences would never stay my hands nor seal my lips. I would esteem one soul gained for heaven, just one, worth a lifetime of effort. I would go forth to the world and I would preach Christ in season and out of season. And my text would be this, for what doth it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what would a man give in exchange for his soul? In closing tonight, the answer to these dangerous seasons is the truth. Don't ever apologize for the truth. Don't ever lose confidence in its power to save. Because the truth is the only thing that we have that has the power to combat the dangerous movements and seasons that are around us and keep these movements out of the Lord's church. And so the answer is the truth. And so may we ever study to know the truth. May we ever have boldness to preach the truth. And may God's people everywhere have the courage and conviction to stand for and defend the truth in the midst of dangerous seasons.